Right now, though, more than 1.2 million Australians live life every day with a communication disability. They can occur at birth, after a stroke, or be the result of any number of situations. And unfortunately, people who do have a communication disability can be made to feel like they're stupid or inferior, which, of course, just isn't the case. But communication is a two-way street, and there are things that everybody can be doing to enable clear conversations for people with disabilities. With us now from the Graduate School of Health at the University of Technology Sydney is Professor Bronwyn Hemsley. She's the head of speech pathology there, and she joins us in the studio now. Bronwyn, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Tess.
So could you tell us, for a little bit of background, what, I guess, actually constitutes a communication disability?
Right, well, communication disability can arise from a range of health conditions. It might affect your speech, your language, your voice, your stuttering, your understanding of sentences, how you can put words together. So it can arise from a range of different health conditions, like lifelong conditions that you're born with, like cerebral palsy or intellectual disability. It could be from an acquired condition that you have, say, if you're a bit older, a stroke or a head injury. Or some conditions get worse over time, that Parkinson's disease or motor neurone disease, where you might gradually lose your speech but still understand language. So it's very diverse. There's a whole lot of different effects of having these conditions. And communication disability is something that we think we can really improve on, because it's affected by all the people around the person. So how other people respond to that person can help their communication substantially.
Could you elaborate on that a little bit more? I mean, how people respond can help.
Definitely. So in that you might communicate more slowly, or your speech might be a bit harder to understand, other people can make a real difference there. So they could say, excuse me, I didn't quite understand that. Can you say it again? Or I got the first part. Can you finish your sentence for me? So they can give back feedback and help respond to the person. So then the person knows that the other person is really trying to understand. So it can be a bit off-putting sometimes if you meet someone and you don't understand their speech. It's better to assume that they really do know what they're talking about, and to ask them or to let them know, I really do want to understand. So what can we do together to figure this out? So people who have no speech, you might use a speech device. And one of the barriers they say happens is that people talk to the device instead of them, or they talk to another person who's with them instead of the person with disability. So they're sort of overwhelmed by the device rather than what the person is actually saying. So that's a real barrier as well.
And so what are some of the most common types of communication disability?
Well, I guess in terms of mild, moderate, severe or profound disabilities, one of the most common types is when people might have a mild slurring speech, or sound like they're drunk, and they might be, say, refused entry to a nightclub or something because from their cerebral palsy their speech is a bit slurred. So similarly, people with a stroke who might have slurred speech after a stroke or have difficulty finding their words, people often assume that they don't understand, that they've got an intellectual disability, when in fact they do understand. So that's the kind of disabling attitudes, if you like, that people encounter when they have any kind of mild or moderate difficulty with communicating.
And so I guess, what do you think would be the level of stigma surrounding people who do have a communication disability?
Well, it's quite difficult for them, because first of all, you can't see it. It's invisible. So where we might be able to see people who are in a wheelchair need access to a building with a ramp or need a table to be at a certain height, people with a communication disability don't necessarily have the words to tell other people that they have that difficulty. So first of all, it's invisible. Second of all, people associate it with your level of intellectual ability. So it's not necessarily associated with that at all. You can have very, very difficult speech and still understand everything. And you can have difficulty understanding and still be able to speak. So it's hard then for people to explain what they need for support. Yeah.
And in terms of support, I know you mentioned before, you know, don't speak to the device if somebody is using a device.
Yeah.
But how can people work to make it a bit easier to communicate with people who do have a communication disability?
Okay, well, one of the main things is to speak directly to the person, give them the opportunity to respond. So that means if they don't respond straight away, wait. So this is really difficult to do in a conversation. People get quite uncomfortable because they start thinking, oh, have I said the wrong thing? Maybe I'll fill in the gap. So what happens then is they talk over the person and or walk away. So one really big thing people can do is to look at the person, watch how they respond, and just wait there and just see. So it sounds simple, but it's actually quite hard to do because you and I, in our conversation, you stop talking and I start talking. If you had to wait, and if your listeners had to wait, they would be wondering what's coming, what's happening. So yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things. The other thing, as I said before, is to tell the person if you haven't understood them and try a different way to communicate. So some people use pictures or a communication board, using gestures, pointing to objects to help understanding what's going on. That can really be helpful. Slowing down your own speech can help sometimes, although you don't really want to go to the extreme and start raising your voice and speaking really slowly because it might be seen as quite patronising. So it's kind of more about what do we need here to keep the conversation going, because they really do lack the opportunity a lot of the time to have a say. And this is really hard, especially in meetings. So if you're in a meeting with a person who has a communication disability, you might need to say, can we stop here and hear what so-and-so has to say, rather than always expecting them to jump in and interrupt.
And just before I let you go, Bronwyn, I heard you're starting a master's course on speech pathology at UTS. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we're starting a two-year master's degree in speech pathology, which is really exciting because here at UTS we do have a focus on technology. And so for people interested in communication technologies and digital health systems, it's a really good opportunity to move the field forward in that direction. So if people are interested in finding out more about that, we have a postgraduate information evening on the 10th of September.
Bronwyn, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you very much, Tess.
That was Bronwyn Hemsley from the Graduate School of Health at the University of Technology at Sydney. She's head of speech pathology and telling us a bit this morning about how we can communicate clearly with everybody we do come across in this life. Newsroom back.